I'm the youngest of 8 girls. Yes, 8 girls. We all became Christians in a Muslim culture, in Muslim country. My second oldest sister, when she was in a college, she met an American woman who was a Christian. My sister learned about her faith and about her, and she really loved that. And she was the first one in our family who became Christian. Of course, when she came home from college, my mom, she freaked out. She didn't understand. My parents called themselves Muslims, but they didn't really fast or pray or go to mosque. My dad worked in government. He believed in God, but he didn't practice any religion. I turned to God in my middle school. One boy, he was bullying me, saying I was a bad kid because I didn't have a dad. When he died, I was 3. I ran to the bathroom, sat on the floor, and cried. That's when my heart opened up to God, and I asked God into my life to protect me. As a believer in my country, you have to gather in secret. The church I went to, they had all about 40 members. Every week, we met in a basement, in the office. We ran the risk of being caught or punished. We knew that we didn't have enough people to register, but at the same time, we could not worship and come to God. So our church operated underground. While there was a certain amount of fear, we had a reason to be joyful too. At Sunday's services, we laid down a long blanket on the ground, and we would gather and worship and have a coffee, tea, like a family. A woman sat in a humble position with her knees pulled close. The man sat cross-legged. We would listen to a sermon and sing and share about our life, pray, console each other. When I came here in the United States 2014, I found a new church, family, which was open to everyone. In a big church that seats over 1,200 believers, I look around and I think they're so lucky. They were so blessed, they even didn't realize that. Because they had a freedom. They have freedom to worship. You can die because you're a Christian in my country. I knew a woman who was telling people about Jesus in the park, but she was arrested and put in a jail. Fortunately, that never happened to me, but I still got in other sorts of trouble. In college, I was so passionate about my faith, I started sharing the gospel with my friends. Some people would understand, some wouldn't. But a lot of people would say, you're a kafir, which means hypocrite or traitor. You don't belong to us at all. That really hurt, but I didn't care. I just wanted to tell them what I believe and what is true for me. But then my teachers found out what I was doing in the college, and the dean of our college, she called into her office one day, and she said, if you don't stop talking about your God, we are going to expel you. They knew everything about me, where I went, what I do, every day, every single of my day. That was really scary. I stayed in a school, but some of my friends and teachers wouldn't talk to me anymore. Everything in my life, about my family, my faith, that didn't leave me with many friends. It was hard to finish that year, but I kept looking forward. I always wanted to go out, explore the world. I had been studying English and wanted to come to the United States to be around English speakers. I knew there was something more. There was a work and travel program for students in my age at that time. I didn't think that I can afford it. It was pretty expensive. Then my sister got pretty good work, and she gave me money to apply and get a visa. Among 30 students, only from my country, only 3 of us got visa, and I was one of them. I came to the United States, and immediately, I wanted to know everything about it. I knew that I wanted to stay because of religious freedom you have here. I knew I would be safe because right on your money, it says, "In God we trust." When I told my mom about my plans, she wondered how would I survive. I was only 19, and I was totally alone, no friends, alone in among strangers. I live in New York about 6 months before moving to Sioux City, where one of my other friends from the same program, she had a job and apartment in Sioux City. So she offered me to come over and live with her. I always wanted to experience real American life. You know, New York is really big. There is no really Americans. But she actually went back to Kyrgyzstan, to my country, to be with her boyfriend and to get married. And I'm so thankful to be here. For right now, I'm a salesperson at the mall. I'm also working on getting my GED. I left all my school, my college degree in Kyrgyzstan. I decided to start over and get a better education. Here I have a future full of opportunities. I know exactly that I would be if I would be still in my country. I would be persecuted. I would be single with little hope of finding a right man. As a woman, I would be told that I don't need to get education or to do something or to act something or even to go to work. Instead, I would be expected to get married and stay at home with a bunch of kids. I wanted to more than that by being here. And being here in the United States, I found freedom to worship, freedom to dream, peace in my heart, that I may live and praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Tropa Ryskalova shared her story at Odes Live Storytelling event in November. Next week, a young single mother discovers a dark family secret that goes back to her teen years in a refugee camp in Kenya.
At the age of 15, I was raped and got pregnant.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. The next event is 7 p.m. Friday, February 3 at B Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Be Moved, an ode to transitions and transformations. To learn more, find Ode on Facebook. You can also listen to past stories we have broadcast at kwit.org. The music you're hearing is by Edom Soul Music out of Omaha. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
Bunny, you're gonna